Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 26th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Charles Ponder. Charles and his wife Molly and their kids Gray and Sarah joined our church about 7 years ago, and Charles has been very active in the life of the church. Thank you, Charles, for reading for the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Mary. And our scripture today is going to be Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, the promise of Emmanuel fulfilled. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you so much, Charles, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. I want to hear a little bit about you and your family. Tell me where you grew up and then tell me about your family.
Well, I grew up in Jacksonville, Alabama, which is about an hour northeast of Birmingham. Went to school there, went to school at Jacksonville State, worked at Jacksonville State.
Go Gamecocks.
That's right. Yeah, the other Gamecocks. And worked there for a number of years after college. And then, you know, once I had gotten to a point in my life to where I felt like I needed to look at something bigger, I left and you know, kind of started my life outside of town back in 2011. And that's where I met my wife now, Molly. I met her when I'd moved to Tuscaloosa. So I spent, you know, 30 plus years in Jacksonville just doing my own thing, and then moved and wham, you know.
Was it love at first sight?
You know, it was to a degree. We actually met at a friend of hers was dating my roommate, and we met at her friend's birthday. So it just kind of worked out. I didn't want to go. My roommate was like, "Come on, come to this birthday party with me." And I had no interest in going, and kind of as a favor to him, since, they had just started dating, I said, "Okay, I'll tag along." There was just a handful of people there that weren't married or with someone. And so just happened to where we ended up talking to each other. So we sat at a table at that birthday party and talked for about 5 hours. And then a couple of weeks later we met. She was living in Birmingham. I was living in Tuscaloosa. So we met for the day and then we just, I don't know, it just clicked.
That's awesome. How long did you guys date? And then when were you married?
We dated about 2 years, but our engagement was short. I mean, once we knew that we were going to get married, there was no need in waiting. And so our engagement was only about 6 months. And then in 2016, we had our first child, Gray. It was our son. He's 6 now. And that's when we actually started attending the church here in January of 2016. And
Gray was born in August. Yeah, I want to hear a little bit about that story. How did you get connected with Mount Brook Baptist?
Originally through the Montgomerys, Luke and Haley. So we were in the process of searching for a church. We'd been married at a church down the road. Molly grew up Methodist. I grew up Baptist. We were married at a Methodist church down the road. And we tried attending there for a little bit, and it was fine. It just didn't really kind of grab both of us. And then we visited a few other churches, and Luke and Haley had been attending here. And so they said, "Come with us one day," and we did. And I was able to tell, at least from my point of view, pretty quickly that it was a familiar setting to me, a little bit bigger than the church I grew up in Jacksonville, but still, you know, we went to the First Baptist Church of Jacksonville. That's where I was a member when I grew up. But when I came here, one of the things that I'll always remember is, since I was a kid, I was looking for a pastor that spoke like the one that I grew up with. And the first time I came here, Dr. Dortch's sermon reminded me a lot of John Holloway, who was my pastor growing up at First Baptist Church, Jacksonville. And, you know, I just enjoyed it. And his time, they were very similar in the way they delivered a sermon and all this. And then, so things progress and, you know, everybody has the inevitable lunch with the preacher. You know, we go to lunch with Doug, and Doug asks, you know, about where I grew up. And I told him where I grew up and where I went to church. And he said, John Holloway. And I said, yeah. And he said, which John's been gone from there for a while, but he said, John and I went to seminary together and we're in the same classes. And I said, well, there it is. You know, it was the same delivery. And, but that's what kind of made me feel comfortable. Every other church I'd attended between here and Tuscaloosa and searching for a church, they were all good places and they were all good things and they had good people. But this place gave me a little bit of home when I came here. And then Molly really enjoyed it because it was similar enough to what she was accustomed to. And so we found a good fit right away. And you know, we played it cool for a little bit and visited some, but we knew that we had found, and we were living closer to here at the time.
Where do you live now?
We live in Hoover now, over in the Bluff Park neighborhood of Hoover, but we were living over in South Avondale and Forest Park area when we first started attending here.
And so then you had Gray.
And then we had Gray.
And then you have another child as well. Tell us about Sarah.
Oh, we do, yes. Sarah's three, and when we had Gray, and then a year and a half in, when he was about a year and a half old is when we moved. And then so we had Sarah in 2020. Now, she was born on March the 11th, 2020, which was a Wednesday. So that Sunday, the world shut down. Mm. And so we had a very unique experience at home with both of them when she was first born. And a matter of fact, the day that daycare opened back up was Molly's first day back to work. So not that any of us ever really wanted to relive those days, but the timing was pretty good for us because it allowed us to really be with, you know,
enjoy her.
I kind of had the de facto paternity leave just because we were all working remotely. And then I think it was good too, from a standpoint of kind of helping Gray get accustomed to having a little sister with all of us being at home.
I want to hear a little more about their personalities. What is Gray like, and then what's Sarah like?
Gray is an old soul. He is 6 years old, going on 52. And, you know, he's a little kid, and he has his little, you know, kid moments, but he acts like a grown man, you know. And I think some of that's because we never treated him like a baby. but he's a little reserved until he warms up. And Sarah, on the other hand, will let you know that she's in the room the moment she's in the room. She's got a swagger to her. You know, she swings her arm when she walks, tells you what she's thinking. But they're both really good kids.
And both good looking. And I think Gray plays a lot of sports, doesn't he?
Gray likes to play sports. He is more enamored with basketball than anything else. But okay. he'll humor everyone in the spring by playing baseball and in the fall playing football. But he enjoys sports at a young age.
Okay, one more get-to-know-you question. Tell me a little bit about your personality. What are you like?
I've always been in sales, so I typically have to be a little bit outgoing. If you got to know me personally, you'd probably see that I'm a little bit more of an introvert on a personal level. I like to try to listen before I talk, but then my mouth takes over, so I have to really rein that in sometimes. But I try to be reserved, but I love my family, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that I try to focus on is, you know, what I need to do to be a better dad and a better husband every day.
You mentioned your home church. Did you come to faith as a result of the ministries of your church, or tell me about your journey of faith with Jesus?
You know, it's a really unique story, and a lot of it happened because of my friends. And I'll go ahead and tell you that I was given an opportunity by my parents to go to church where I wanted to go to church. And that meant sometimes that I visited different churches at different times of the year. When it was RAs and Church League basketball, I'd go to Westside Baptist. When I wanted a good meal after supper, I'd go to Hatcher Avenue Baptist. A lot of my friends either went to the Methodist Church or First Baptist. And I started attending First Baptist Church mainly because my core group of friends, that's where they went. Now, having said that, I would not be fully active in the youth programs because I was not a member of the church. So I never had the opportunity. I guess I could have had the opportunity, but I never took the opportunity to go to mission trips or things like that. And that's where they'd always come back and two or three people got saved and they'd get baptized the next week. It never really happened for me. And then when I was about 17, 18 years old, I started to realize that that was what I didn't have that they did. And so I would say that my friends probably led me to Christ first, and then John just kind of nailed it down. Mm-hmm. So I was 18 years old when I was saved and baptized, which is a little bit older than some of us. But I appreciate the fact that I understood what was happening, and I was very conscious of the decision I'd made.
Amen. Yeah. Tell me about your growth group, what you guys are studying, what's the dynamic there?
Well, we've got a good solid group right now. And, you know, for the first few years that we did the growth groups, we would switch it up a little bit and we'd bounce people in and out or rotate to kind of get a good idea. And then I think maybe at the behest of our pastor, you know, we kept the same people. We had found a good group, a good niche, very comfortable with one another. We've got a good range of personalities, ages, places in life, and backgrounds. So we do. We've got a really good group. Right now, we follow the sermon structure. So we've been going through and following up on Wayne's sermons and kind of breaking them down and sharing our thoughts of what we got out of it. And just really putting our pastor on the microscope.
Okay, tell me a little bit about Sunday school. I think you also are a teacher in the rotation in the foundation Sunday school class. So tell me a little bit about that.
I'd be afraid to say I'm a teacher because I don't know if I'm teaching anybody anything in there.
Facilitator.
But that's right. I'm a facilitator for the foundations class. There's four of us that lead that group, Luke Montgomery, myself, and Caleb Haynes, and Tripp Watson. And we've all been doing it together for I think over a year now, but we really enjoy it. We've got a good group, typically very well attended, and everybody's about the same stage of life. And
now I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
What room are you guys in? If someone wanted to visit your class, what is the age range and where do you meet?
All right, so we meet in room 215, affectionately known as the Big Nap Room.
Okay.
All right, we've got new chairs. I want everybody to know that. So we've
awesome.
Got comfortable new chairs.
Are they
chairs
really
in
comfy?
They're comfortable, okay. And they don't tear your pants up. but we meet there, and the age range is actually kind of odd. You know, I think everybody's got children. But we're not necessarily that young married couple or 22, 23 years old. However, we've got a pretty broad range. I don't know. I don't want to talk about putting me on the spot. I don't want to age people. But
that's
I mean,
right.
I bet we've probably got people in their early 30s and then some almost 50.
One more way that I've seen you serve is through Service Day. And I want to hear a little bit about that as well.
Well, I first started working with Service Day and trying to help facilitate that when it was still under Wayne's immediate purview. And I think it just kind of happened one day because we were either went to lunch and he had that going on, said, hey, will you ride with me?
Help me, please.
Yeah. And so I got involved in that. And, you know, one of the things, too, is you try to find ways that you can help and really be of a service. And I'm not somebody who's ever going to be able to come up here and cook breakfast for everybody. Or I'm not someone who's going to be able to go up and sing a solo. You know, so one way I can work, I mean, I can sweat, I can work, and I can haul stuff. And so I thought, well, that'll be a way that I can do it. And I had a little bit of project management in my background. And so it just worked out to where I became a little bit more involved. And now it's something I really enjoy every fall is getting that together and trying to help identify things that need our help and then seeing the process through.
Charles, that was a really wonderful passage that you read for us. I'm wondering if you might make any commentary on the passage today.
Well, there were a few things that stuck out to me and that I enjoyed or maybe saw fresh and having studied this passage a little bit. And I do like how it tells us how Joseph and Mary fulfilled the mission that the Lord had for them. And I think it also showed obedience in Mary. And then I think it showed humility in Joseph, and being able to take on that responsibility regardless of the optics. And then finally, I really like how it starts Jesus's earthly life as an act of selflessness. And I just think that that really set a good precedent and that established the theme of Jesus's life. So I was really, really happy that this was the passage I got to read.
Thank you for reading, and thank you for sharing a little bit about your story. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. Father God, thank you so much for another day. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for Jesus's parents and their obedience and their humility. Thank you for the ability to learn more about you and for the opportunities to learn more about Jesus. We appreciate everything you do for us, and we love you. And it's in your name we pray together, believing. Amen.
Amen.